Here we go. It's another special edition of the 50-50 podcast, our special series, the hashtag summer series of 21, of the summer of 21, where we are showcasing the showcases, the special ID camps, summer camps, college camps, and combines that are going on around the country. And we're happy, we're delighted to be joined today by Aaron Westner and Mike Townsend, who are the director and assistant director of the 2021 Southeast All-American Soccer Showcase, which is slated for this weekend in Daytona Beach, Florida. Coaches, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good.
Doing great. Doing great. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. Unfortunately, I know we couldn't have Tyler join us, Coach Pineda, because Coach B, who's actually en route, right? As I understand that.
But
he's a busy man. He's almost as busy as me, I'll say. Just kidding. No, he's a busy guy, but we're glad to still have you all be able to join us here today. So
for sure, we were lucky enough to come down a few days early, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's got to be rough being down in Daytona Beach, you know. I
know it's a hard job, but you know. Yeah. Somebody had to do it, you know.
Somebody had to do it. Exactly. So awesome. All right, coaches. So before we dive in and start talking about your event coming up this weekend, give us a little bit, just briefly, a little bit of background on the both of you as far as your association with the game, what you all do, and how you all came to be involved with this event.
For sure. So my name is Aaron Westner. I'm the U.S. event director. So I am currently the head men's soccer coach at Sprayberry High School in Marietta, Georgia. Been there for about 5 years now. Before that, I was in Frisco at Frisco Centennial in Texas. So I have a good background knowledge on the game in Texas and the high school game in Georgia. Love coaching, love the game. Got involved last year with Tyler in the build-up to the first one and was a coach last year. And after coaching in the showcase, you know, he brought me on to kind of help get things set up for our ID camp series that we did throughout this year leading up to the 2021, you know, showcase that we're about to be doing this weekend. But that's kind of my background in it. Mike?
Yeah, I'm Mike Townsend. I'm Aaron's assistant. I coach at Central High School. It's in West Georgia. 20-plus years coaching club and high school in Georgia. You know, once again, Tyler, come on board with him. He's had a vision, and he's created his vision, and it's been great. You know, it gives an opportunity for some kids that don't play the high-level club that we're normally have so that they can get opportunity to get looks from college.
Great. That's great stuff. And Aaron, I knew you were a good man. I knew there's some sort of Texas connection there. I knew you were a good man. Right. So that's awesome. So I'm glad to hear that. So tell us a little bit, you know, before we kind of start peeling back the layers a little bit. I know this year, I mean, this event is in its second year this year. It launched last year, kind of going into, you know, right before COVID happened there or hit this country, at least in terms of the shutdown. But the, you know, you talk about the genesis and Tyler's vision. Why was this event created?
Right. So Tyler has worked many, many All-American football games because he grew up playing the sport of football, played it in college, worked many different camps. And then Kristen, his wife, asked him, you know, why isn't there a soccer All-American game? And he, you know, like all of us, it's a very good question. There's not many that are started. I know that in the last year, we've seen a couple that have sprung up. But we wanted to see kids that were maybe getting overlooked. Because there's a lot of kids, as you know, in the high school game that kind of get overlooked. If you're not playing that high level ECNL or, you know, MLS Next League, you're kind of getting overlooked at that high division one, division two level. So we wanted to kind of bridge the gap between the two and give this platform for kids to be able to play in front of college coaches, get looks. Even, you know, after our first year, we had over 40 kids, I think, that got placed and committed to different colleges, from leveling from JUCO to AIA to D3, D2, and even some D1s.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and that's a great question. Why isn't there an All-American game, right, that showcases our, right, you know, our men and women, our boys and girls from across, you know, across the country at the high school level? So, yeah, that's well said. So you know, I know you said you were kind of coming in a little bit. I don't know exactly when you came in, but in terms of since you all have come on and what Tyler had to share, what do you think were some of the lessons learned from year one, especially as it launched going into, you know, what ended up being a pandemic with COVID?
Right. Well, lesson number one is don't try to start an organization or an all-star game during a pandemic. That's one of the ones that was pretty bad, starting that off. So it was just kind of tough to kind of get things going. We didn't even know leading up to it whether or not we were going to be shut down. Because at that time, you know, it hit about March in Atlanta for us, which is where the showcase was held last year. There, we were in shutdown. There was no gathering of more than 10 people even allowed. So patience was a big thing. Just being patient to make the decision to continue through with the 2021 or 2020 showcase. It was tough, man. But the success of it was awesome because we were one of the few college recruiting events that was going on at that time. Yeah, we had 20 players and over 70 committed now. The number is actually 70 that committed to play at the next level from Clemson, Ole Miss, Arkansas, you know, to all the way up to the JUCO level. So the biggest challenge we had with it was upholding the standard we have developed going from year one to year two now. We kind of set the standard pretty high with what we were doing in that first year through a pandemic. And to be able to match that, that's been one of our biggest challenges is what's next? What can we do, you know, just to, again, bridge that gap and allow more players to come and be showcased and have their talent showcased. So it was pretty exciting. I'll tell you what, I've been a part of a couple different, I wouldn't say All-American because it really wasn't anything, but a couple of All-Star games at the state levels between Texas and Georgia. And it was the most well-run showcase that I have ever been a part of. From top to bottom. And, you know, a part of that was they had to be because of COVID. You know, we had protocols in place that we had to follow. We couldn't there were a lot of things we'd love to have done with the players throughout the event, but we were just kind of, hey, you can't hang out too much. We're going to put you in rooms with two people, maybe sometimes three if they had been around each other a lot already from coming from the same school. So, yeah, we were masked up everywhere. You had to stay in your rooms. You couldn't eat together. We couldn't eat all locally together. The only time we were all together is when we trained. And so that was it. A lot of what we did was on Zoom calls. I know I was coaching a team last year. We met up on Zoom calls and did like yoga sessions to do recovery because we couldn't meet all in the same place at the hotel. It was like, all right, guys, we've got a lot of work to do in a very small amount of time to get ready. So we're going to do our best. But I think being patient through that, it turned out to be an incredible event, and it just led up to everything we're doing this year for this event, which we're super excited about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's great stuff. I mean, so much learned there from year one. I bet that just, and it also lends itself to so much more perspective and appreciation for this year, right? Year two. Right. So, you know, Coach, you talk about, so this year, not this year, but generally the format for this showcase, it's not just an ID camp. It's not a 1 day ID camp or anything like that, even though you'll have college coaches in attendance. And we'll get into that more, a little bit more in a minute, but talk a little bit about, give us a visual of the format of this showcase on both the boys and girls side. What does it look like? Names of teams. They got some pretty cool names, all that good stuff.
They do. Yeah, they do. We'll lead up. First off, the names of the teams. It's Team East versus Team West and Team Stars versus Team Stripes. Tyler does a phenomenal job with our artwork. As you can see, a lot of the different things that we do, he's got a great team behind him there, as well as our uniforms. Our uniforms are top of the line, custom made for each player with their name on the back that they get to keep. So that's one of the biggest things coming out of this. I've had my kids that were involved with the showcase. They were wearing it at practice all year long. I was like, I get it. You were an All-American. That's awesome. But, the kids will check in on Thursday. We'll do the check-in process, and then we'll go jump right into a training session the first day. So we get the kids out there with the coaches that are involved. They train, kind of get an idea of everybody's skills and what positions they play. We tried to evenly match up as far as teams, making sure everyone's got the right amount of midfielders, defenders, forwards, things like that. They'll get out, they'll train. The next day, day two, we actually in the morning we'll have scrimmages. So Team East will play like Team Stripes, Team West will play Team Stars, something like that, just to where the kids can play against someone else and they're really going to play in the showcase.
Right.
Give themselves another opportunity to play in front of these college coaches that are showing up. We film all the sessions. All the college coaches have access to those sessions to be able to, you know, take a look. And a couple of our coaches that are in the showcase have asked, hey, can you film these so that when we go back to the hotel, we can break it down and talk about. So there's some high level coaching that's going on. They're getting evaluations each time they step on the pitch. And then we'll do one more training session on Thursday night. That'll be the third training session that they'll have before Saturday leads up to our showcase, where we'll have all the games back to back to back.
Got it. Good. And so college coaches can start showing up when exactly? What is it that they get to get eyes on and evaluate?
So a lot of them will show up that Thursday, that very first day. Yeah, they'll get to jump in and watch training. I remember last year, you know, it really hard to get college coaches to come out during a pandemic because a lot of our D1s were shut down. NCAA D2 was allowed to open up right away. But we had a couple that came out to practice. And that very first one last year, I met three or four right coming out the gate. And they were able to talk to players right away through the training session. I thought it was really cool last year. We had a coach that came up and talked to some of the players right while they were in the middle of the training session. Why'd you make that decision? What led you to decide to go this way instead of go that way? Different things. And it was really incredible just to hear their answers, hear the kids' thought process through things. And so they have full access to the kids at the training sessions. Whatever they want to do, we kind of give them, hey, here you go. This is your opportunity to talk to kids, see kids live and in person. I know it's big for – we have a couple D1 coaches that are coming out this year. It's big for them because they just now opened up to be able to watch people in person. So,
right.
Ross, you want to add to that?
Yeah, Mark? One thing, remember, we had Roman Torres last year out of Texas, who I guess was Fort Worth, Dallas player.
Dallas player,
he was phenomenal. And then it was just – we were training right outside of Atlanta United's training grounds. And right. Their academy director from the ages – 14 to 21 come out and said, hey, who is this guy? You know, we're like, well, Roman Torres, he's out of Texas. He's really great. You know, he's going overseas, we think, to, you know, to sign a contract and stop the, you know, the, and say, hey, look, we want to see this kid play. You know, and it was just phenomenal. You know, the people we have come out.
Yeah, he came out and actually watched that last the last game that Roman played in. And I think he had like three goals. Yeah, hat trick.
Yeah.
Which is something he does. He actually plays for FC Dallas, one of their youth teams now still, the U19 teams, and he had three hat tricks at the Dallas Cup, you know, a couple months ago, which is pretty incredible to do at that level of competition he's playing against. So these are the kind of players that we have there, not just, you know, we were talking about some of the kids that get overlooked, but we still have some of the high top-level talent that are there playing at the top level. So it's pretty exciting to see.
Right. That's awesome. No, that's a great – you love to hear those success stories, and that's – the end of the day, that's the real reason why these events are put on, right? So that's great. So, you know, we've talked – you've given us a visual in terms of the format. We've talked a little bit about kind of the history, the brief history of the event. Now, let's talk a little bit – give us an idea in terms of rosters, going about building the rosters, going about selecting coaches, you know, the college coaches that will be that'll be coaching them, what that looks like, just the overall, the logistics, the invitations and the logistics of the event, the planning for the event. What does that look like?
Man, that planning started right away last year after we finished with the 2020 showcase. This year we did ID Camp Series that came out, which I thought was really awesome. That's where Mike and I kind of came in on that as far as being, you know, a part of the Southeast All-American, not just one of those volunteer coaches, but we're actually on staff now, is we started traveling around. We traveled to Texas, to Mississippi, to Tennessee. Yeah. You know, we had some planned in some places that COVID kind of shut down. You know, we were going up to Delaware on one that unfortunately got shut down. So we went all over the U.S., all over the Southeast for sure, and got to do ID camps with college coaches coming and actually running the training sessions. And through that ID camp series, we were able to identify a couple players that were invited right out the gate. They were given an invitation to the 2021 showcase, and that started in August of last year, right? It was the first one we did in Atlanta. And some of those kids that got selected then are here, are coming now. So that's the cool thing, is kind of see that whole process that went through. I think there was around, if I were to say, I'd probably say 20 kids on the boys, 20 boys, 20 girls that were selected before we even did the nomination process. So outside of that selection process, we did the nomination process where coaches could nominate their kids, players could nominate themselves, parents could nominate their own kids. And they filled out, you know, your general form that you fill out, but attached their highlight video. And so myself, Tyler, and we have a team of scouts that work with us that we went through all the highlighting videos. Now, last year, Tyler really appreciated the help, because last year Tyler went through over 300 to 400 nominations, 300, 400 highlight videos that he picked. So he had some help this year looking through, which we had over 500 this year nominations of kids sending us their highlight videos to look at and kind of piece through, which it's very difficult to do. I personally like doing it through the ID Camp series, because you get to see them in person, get to see them in a training session, and then playing a game. To watch somebody's highlight film, I'm sure, as you're a coach, you know, sometimes you can hide some things on a highlight video.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know that. So I think it's cool the way the process goes. We get a lot of feedback from their high school coaches, their club coaches, about kids that we are bringing in. This year we have 70 boys and 62 girls that will be playing in this showcase, 134 players. I think it's pretty cool.
You say that again, Coach? That was how many boys?
Yeah, 72 boys, 62 girls.
72 and 62, gotcha.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
We have 18 on each team for the boys' side and about 15 to 16 on the girls' side. We had a couple that had to drop out last minute just due to injury and different things like that weren't allowed to come. So that's why the girls are a little bit lower. But typically, you know, last year we did about 15 players on a roster, and we found out, man, it's hot in June, and these kids get gassed pretty easily, especially when they haven't been playing high school in a while. Some of them are playing high-level club and still in it, but we needed some more subs, so that's why we added and expanded the rosters to about 18 per team.
I gotcha. So that ID Camp series from last year, from the end of last year's summer showcase event to now, that was how many events? Was that three or four? How many was that?
We had, I'd say, eight or nine, I think we had.
And one of the best was in Chattanooga, in the Chattanooga area. We had, just for girls, in 20-plus years, we had, I think it was 42 or 44 girls there. Yeah. That was probably the best weekend I've had in a long time, just watching talent, because they were going after each other. From D1 all the way to JUCO, they were just, you know, we had the college coaches training them. They just wanted an invite, and they just wanted to be seen. So I'm really excited to see what's going to be here for the girls.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I actually wasn't able to be a part of. And you want to talk about leading up to, you know, the national showcase that we're going to have. When we were selecting those kids, we were talking as a staff, like, how many invites do we want to give out early? You know, how many do we want to do through the ID Camp series? How many do we want to leave open for nomination? So that was a learning process this year, trying to figure that out. And I remember that event because I didn't get to go. And I remember we had talked about, hey, let's not invite like more than eight at an event. And I called him afterwards and said, hey, how'd this one go in Chattanooga? And they were like, oh, we invited 10. I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Like, oh, coach, I promise you, wait until you see the talent that we have. And they weren't lying, man. Those girls could play. So it's very exciting to see. You know, we've got 15 states represented, you know, nice. All from California all the way up as north as New Jersey. Connecticut, we got kids coming in. We got a coach from Connecticut coming.
Now, how does that vary from last year? When you look at last year's, not so much the numbers, but the representation from states across the country, do you know how, because I know it's bigger. I know it's bigger than last year, obviously, because of the pandemic. It's
much bigger. So last year we had primarily, it was a lot of the Georgia kids. We had from Tennessee, I think a player or two from South Carolina, and then we had a few from Texas. That number up, and we had that few from Texas because I was in Tyler's year right away. Hey, you need to look at these kids from Texas. I promise you.
And a couple kids from South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. Yes. Louisiana, Mississippi, you know, a few there, a couple from Florida as well. So it was more of that Georgia pull, though, that first year. Because it was a lot of the kids that we knew and were able to get a lot of coaches and kind of get the word out. You know, how do you get the word out about an All-American event? Just just through emailing people. They're like, oh yeah, whatever. That's cool. Being able to do that last year, I think it really opened up a lot of doors for us. And then through the ID camp series, more coaches that got to be a part of running those ID camp series and college coaches part of it, it's really opened us up. Cause now we hit today over 150 college coaches attending our showcase this year. So, which had 70 last year. So just over 70. So we went from 70 to 150 now. It's very exciting.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned that, and you know, that's great stuff in terms of a lot of, that kind of goes back to the first question I asked in terms of lessons learned, right, from last year. And you've definitely picked up momentum. And I know a lot of this last year, Tyler was having to do by himself. And I know this too, because I know in, you know, talks with him previously going back to last year, and I know he was able to offer, they made the offer, the nomination and the offer to, you know, full disclosure, a couple of my girls that played for me out here in El Paso, unfortunately, we were at that time, it was kind of where El Paso had kind of become one of the epicenters in the country, you know?
Right.
So it just travel was just pretty much out of the question, unfortunately. But it was great. There was a good variety, I think, all things considered last year. And I know it's even more, it's a wider variety this year. So kudos to you guys, because I know that's a lot of evaluations. That's a lot of film. And because at a certain point, you kind of have to draw a line in the sand in terms of selection as to, hey, it comes down to these two or three, who are we going to go with? Who are we going to offer? Right. So, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because you want the invite to mean something, obviously.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that's the challenge too, going forward, is continuing to get you want to get the best of the best, but again, we're trying to bridge the gap here. So you want all different levels. You know, we're trying to find those diamonds in the rough, you know, that they're getting looked at different places, you know, Texas, where do people look? They look at Dallas, Fort Worth. They look at Houston. They look at San Antonio. But there's some good players playing in all different, even in Georgia, for example. A lot of people will look at the Atlanta area. This year in our state championships, how many teams came from the Atlanta area? I mean, there was a ton. But then you had three that came out of Whitfield County, which is up near the Chattanooga, you know, Tennessee-Georgia border. And they had three state champions there. And a lot of those kids get overlooked because we're buddies with the coaches up there as well. And so we got, you know, Southeast Whitfield's got like 8 or 9 kids coming this year. Those are all kids that can play.
At a very high level.
Yeah. But they don't get the chances because they don't play club in Atlanta or a lot of those areas. I think, you know, there's some good things going on in those areas right now to kind of boost that. But this is what we're talking about, is where can we find those players that they've been overlooked and they need to get looked at. For sure. We got two boys coming out of Pickens High School, Juan Sanchez and Jose Sanchez. And I actually got a chance to watch them play last weekend in the Georgia All-Star game. And they are every bit as good as advertised. Mike played against them this year and said, just wait till you see these kids play. The other one plays striker. They legit have like I feel like the ball is tethered to their feet. They find each other so well.
Yeah.
And so get them out there and play with top level talent and give them the opportunity to be seen. Super exciting on our end, you know, as coaches. I find myself, you know, I've got a couple kids that are invited to as well. But I find myself so excited about some of these other kids as well, like they're all my own. So we love it, man. It's going to be this year. I think the step up between last year and this year, the quality of play, I know we're going to get into talking about some of the players coming from Texas, but I am excited to see some of the battles that are going to take place with some of the players that we have, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I won't be there, but I'll be tuning in. I know you guys, and we'll talk into those particulars as far as live streaming in a little bit. But that's well said in terms of, you know, that's kind of part of the genesis for this podcast as well, is being able to showcase programs, student athletes that aren't at your traditional areas here in Texas, such as, you know, you talked about the Metroplex, Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. What makes Texas so unique, though, is because the state is so big, you actually see different styles of play in different yep. parts of the state, you know, and I can't even begin to tell you the level of play, the quality level that exists in areas such as out here in West Texas, out here in El Paso, out down in the valley, in the Rio Grande Valley, you know. So, yeah, that's I can definitely understand what you all are trying to do. And you're trying to do it kind of now more as it progresses and it grows on the national scale. So I can definitely appreciate that. So good on you guys. Kudos to all of you guys, starting with Tyler and his wife. So now we talked a little bit about the selection for, you know, the players, the student athletes and filling those rosters. What did you guys use as criteria for the selection process for your coaches? Give us a little layout as to how many coaches per team and how you all came to select those.
So we have, and I'm going to kind of change tabs here a little bit, so it may not look like we're looking at you, but you know, we have some really good coaches that are coming. And this year, you want to talk about the transition from last year to this year. Last year was primarily a ton of high school coaches that got together and were able to, you know, nominate themselves. And a lot of it was, you know, people that were super active on Twitter with Tyler. I know that was kind of where the two of us kind of met, was all on Twitter. We had not met prior in person until the event last year. So that came from, hey, a lot of people that Tyler knew, a lot of people that reached out through Twitter and wanted to help out. And now this year with the ID Camp series, you know, we had a lot more college coaches that were invested and that wanted to be a part and not only wanted to attend, but also coach in the event. So we have on the boys side, we have 7 coaches coming. You know, Team East is going to be coached by Owen Finberg and Ray Torres. Ray's a buddy of ours from Columbus, Georgia. Owen Finberg is from South Kent in Connecticut coming. You know, Team West, Robert Watson, and then Luis out of Ravenwood High School in Tennessee. Robert Watson's actually from Borney Champion High School in Texas. And him and I knew each other back in the day. We coached together at Frisco Samuel. So a lot of this was a nomination process where they were sending in for these high school coaches. But the other one, the other side of it is those college connections that we've already made. So people like Dan Robertson at Trinity Baptist College, he had attended last year's showcase to watch, recruited a couple players out of it. And then he had been a part of our ID Camp series and had done a really good job. Like, you know, as well as I do, you've been around the business for a while. You'll run into some coaches that are just there to collect a paycheck. Sometimes they just kind of mail it in a little bit. And then you've got coaches that are serious about it and want kids to grow and they want to work hard. And so we've had plenty of those, like Sam Clark out of Life University, Carla Tejas from Louisiana College. And then the highlight, I think everybody needs to come watch the energy from Team Stripes. It's Sean Sonderling and Colton Bryant. I don't know if you know them.
Oh no.
Yeah. Those guys, they've got a ton of energy and they will bring it. I met Colton last year at the showcase and he loves coaching. I mean, absolutely loves coaching and does it at a high level anywhere he goes. So those two guys are actually the Team Stripes, I think it was. They're going to be Team Stripes on the girls' side. And there were a lot of girls that requested, please, I want to be on their team. Let me be on their team. So we've got some high-level coaches coming in. We've got a lot of people that take it very seriously. And just that, I mean, it's a lot of it comes from who you know, like coaching is around our circles a lot of times. A lot about who you know and who you worked with before and who you know is going to do a good job. So that's, you know, lucky enough, we got in year one just off of work and Twitter and then come in and do a good job with it. And that's when Tyler brought us on. So
great recruiting tool for these guys, too.
Oh, yeah. These college coaches coming in.
Absolutely.
Fit their program. They can call 10 of their coaching fraternity brothers and say, hey, or sisters, and say, hey, look, we have this center mid. It's not good for us, but it could be good for you guys. You know, and it's pretty fantastic.
That's one of the things we learned from the ID camps, too, is how much the college coaches talk to each other. And that's one of the things we always tell the kids. They're like, look, you know, if you ghost me, I've got 10 or 15 other coaches that I know. You don't want to ghost me because then I'll let them know that you ghosted me. You know, talk to each other. So we help each other out. So maybe you're not a good fit for my program, but you might be a good fit for my buddy's program.
Right.
So that was something I learned going through the ID Camp series as well.
So one of the questions that I have to ask is, who is going to take the blame? Who's going to take the fall for putting, who made that executive decision to put Coach Colton Bryan and Coach Sean Soderling together? Because that's going to be
all Tyler. Yeah, we'll blame it on all Tyler. That's Tyler.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's not us.
Yeah, no, they're both great guys. I know them on different fronts, obviously. And, you know, Coach Soderling, I don't think I've gone in the last year probably more than maybe 2 weeks without speaking with him. And he's actually one of, you know, full disclosure, one of my student athletes from here, from Isleta High School, is committed to him. So yeah, I'm so to go play for him over at Brescia. And then, you know, Coach Bryant, Colton Bryant, he's a 50-50 podcast alum. He was on here probably, I want to say maybe about 3 months back, maybe. I think I want to say three months back.
That guy come run my training sessions in high school any day.
Oh yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. He's full of energy.
So give us a little bit of layout now of the inner workings of just kind of the staff that it takes to run this, and kind of how did you guys make the really, really difficult decision that was to choose Daytona Beach, Florida as the location?
We let all those heavy decisions lay on Tyler and Christian's shoulders. You know, they make all the tough decisions, but I think one of the things is Florida is such a hotbed for soccer as well. And so we didn't want to keep it just an Atlanta, Georgia thing. If we're going to be really Southeast all American, we've got to make the jump to go around different places. So we had about three or four different venues that we were talking about, not just in Florida, but in Georgia and then other places. And we've got, you know, full disclosure, we've got probably about four or five more now for next year. And I think we've already kind of settled on where we're going to go next year. And it's going to be someplace different than the two previous years before. I don't want to let that cat out of the bag because Tyler might get mad at me. But we let some of those hard decisions fall on them. We're the worker bees. We tell them all the time. We're the ones who tell us a dream and we'll implement everything we can and be a part of it. I was one of the first ones that came on outside of, you know, Tyler and Kristen after the showcase last year. And I remember they asked me to be a part of it and I was super excited about it. Six of my boys were selected last year to participate. So the chance to coach some of them one more time drew me to the event. And I don't know, I remember telling my wife, I was like, there's just something – I have a feeling, you know, when you get invited to do things, sometimes you're like, I have a feeling this is going to go further than just this event. And I need to put every bit of my effort into this. And that was one of those things that me and my wife talked about. And I did, I remember I put scouting reports together on the players that we were playing against, even some of my players, and had to be brutally honest with them, said, hey, look, I scouted you. And I told them exactly how to beat you. So, and sometimes you know your players best anyway. You know their strengths and weaknesses. But we did – I did a full-on packet for them, for these kids. And I encouraged our coaches that are coming in this year, hey, do the same. Make it fun. And that was, I think, for us, we had the devastation of not finishing our seasons. You know, it just kind of ended so abruptly. And to be able to have one more event to kind of throw that together last year, man, that's what really drew me to it. And then just being able to be on board now and come through the decision, you know, the planning process, the decision process, through who gets invited, who doesn't. It's been awesome. Yeah, Tyler and Kristen, I would say, are really the ones that make those decisions. Myself, Mike, we have Bobby Jaworski, who is at Georgia Military College, great high school, 1A high school here, won two state championships back-to-back. And then we have a couple others, you know, younger kids that work with us as well, that Tyler and Kristen know to kind of – you got to have some youth around you at times, right, to carry the heavy stuff. And
absolutely.
Really, but this guy sitting next to me, you wouldn't tell he's been in the business long enough, man. He's got energy for about 12 of us coaches.
But hey, and I'm sure Texas is the same way. I will take my high school kids anywhere they want to go. If it's exact camp, if it's to any college camp, and they're going to pay hundreds of dollars. You know, for example, last year before this, I drove two of my kids down to Tampa, and we paid $700 for a showcase. And
right.
college coaches worked him out for, you know, one day, didn't talk to him. And I was just like, okay, that is, you know, Tyler's not about this. Yeah. It's about getting kids committed. You know, it's about getting them seen. It's about getting the opportunity. And one name that stands out to me is a kid from the Athens area, Clark Central. His name's Jackson. Had no offers last year. Yeah. He was a basketball player and a soccer player. And showed out in our showcase. He was on my team. He scored 2 goals. Played phenomenal. And all of a sudden, started picking up offers through his senior year this year. You know, and it's those relationships you build. He texts me and says, hey, look, Coach, thank you. Because I'm going to go play at this school. It may not be D1, but it's an opportunity to play at a school.
That's right.
And it's
we have so many of those stories, too. I mean, I know that kind of gets away from your original question, but it's still just it's a good story. Raul out of Longview High School was a goalkeeper last year that came in. And he had, I think, one offer to play, but it was a JUCO offer that he wasn't real high on. But it was just one of those last-minute things that he got. When he came to our showcase, he balled out. He was a goalkeeper. He had a great game.
Not even a game, in training sessions.
In training sessions, yes, looked great, too. Yeah. And it was Point University was there out of Georgia. And they actually offered him on the spot, offered him a spot to play. They, you know, did some things where we really talked about maybe him coaching into coaching after it was done. So it's just like you've got kids that are coming here with zero offers that end up signing at the, you know, being offered on the spot. So I think it's just incredible. Like you said, like Tyler and Kristen, it's not about the money. You know as well as I do that there are a lot of ID camps out there that are all about the money. And we won't throw out names and name them all. But, you know, there are some that it's just not about the kid. I've driven my kids halfway across the country to attend some of those camps. And the same thing, they get maybe an hour or two with the coach, and then the coaches never talk to them again. So we develop something that these kids could be a part of where they could have access to these college coaches to where they get evaluations. A big thing that we did our coaches meeting a few days ago with our coaches. And we said, look, every time you get on the field with these kids, we need you to evaluate them, give them an evaluation, give them feedback. It doesn't have to be extensive, but we need you to talk to them about their level of play. If they're doing something good, let them know. If they're doing something bad and you don't want them to do it, let them know. But just handle it in the right way. And I think that's made the difference over the last year of us doing it is that why this is growing bigger and bigger as we go, because we're giving these kids this opportunity and they're getting these honest evaluations, helping them get to the next level. I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of that? I mean, if you're a high school kid right now, you know, I'm jumping at every opportunity I can to get in front of college coaches.
And one last thing, we had 2 kids from Tennessee last year that were already committed to D1 programs, Mercer and Memphis.
Yep.
They showed up, and I said, hey, you guys have already committed. We want to make these other 17 guys on our team the best we can so they can get an opportunity.
That's right.
And I was just like, whoa, you know, and these kids can play. I was like, because most D1 kids at that point and then wrote it off. I mean, Aaron's got a D1 kid just fixing to play.
That's right.
He's going to be at UAB next year. And I'm like, why are you here? I want to give the opportunity for someone else to get an opportunity like I have.
Yeah. Right. At that level, you know, it's just attracting more and more people to want to come watch.
Yeah.
He's talking about Jackson Bates is out of Sprayberry High School. He plays for me. He's one of the best I've ever coached. You know, I coached Brendan Lee, who went to SMU in Dallas, you know, and he was a phenomenal player. Jackson Bates blows him out of the water. And if Brendan hears this, I'm sorry, Brendan, I still love you. But Jackson's an incredible player, man. I mean, last week we played in a North-South All-Star game, and this dude had a hat trick in 20 minutes. And we're playing against All-Star. So he loves coming to these things. He doesn't need another offer. He's going to UAB, settled in. He's leaving here in 2 weeks. But he's got teammates that are here, and he wants to help them. And so we've always said that whenever you can play, even at the high school level, if you can play and you can get kids showing up and coaches showing up to watch you play, they're not only watching you, but they're watching every other teammate you got.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
So one thing before we highlight a few players, can you talk about a little bit? I know, you know, so we've talked about format. We've talked about the staff, player selection or roster selection, coach selection. What does the couple of days, you know, the players arrive, coaches arrive, you have check-in, And aside from the training sessions and the actual event on Saturday, with that many, you know, we talked about 150 college coaches in attendance, either physically or virtually. Are there any kind of character development, leadership development, or just kind of recruiting seminars that take place while they're there for the student athletes?
Right. So when we do our lunches and we have some of our downtime, we have some guest speakers that come in and they'll do the character development. I know we had a couple that came last year, but we have those set up in there to kind of talk to the kids. A lot of that is built through our coaches too, and the relationship that they had. I remember last year myself, I'm in a group message still with all the kids from last year just that we can chat anytime and talk about things that are going on. But we also have, you know, recruiting people that come in to talk about, hey, what are some things that you need to be doing to highlight yourself? What are some ways that you can help your name get out there? What are some do's and don'ts for when you email college coaches? We actually have the college coaches that talk to the kids and open it up for Q&A. I think that's one of my favorite parts, the Q&A with the college coaches, because I've learned things over the last year that I was like, wow, I didn't know that as far as what not to do or what to do. But the kids, it's so much information download that they get to be able to help, you know, kind of better promote themselves
as well. I'm having the guy from the Midwest,
Rennell Parker. Yeah.
Yeah. Rennell Parker, who had missed a season because he had transferred schools and something happened because his mom and dad got a different job. Yep. He was declared ineligible, so he couldn't play. Then all of a sudden COVID hits, you know, and he couldn't play. Plays phenomenal for us. He balls out, he gets offered. But, you know, his dad spoke to us because it was during the other movements that everything was going on besides COVID last year.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, phenomenal to hear other people speak outside of Georgia, whether it's from Texas or Indiana or whatnot.
So you just get different perspectives from all over the U.S., you know. Mr. Parker, when he spoke and talked about different things that were going on within the U.S. and being able to highlight, you know, just kind of his thought process and how we need to, you know, stick together and be motivated and work hard, hard work and perseverance. He listed off like his four character traits, and I couldn't, you know, repeat them back to you now if I had to. But I remember that moment with those kids, like being able to sit there and see how locked in they were. I think that was pretty cool. Yeah. Just a really good opportunity again.
Yeah. And you know, you guys are at the point now where you're starting to develop some actual alumni from this event, even bringing them back, right. Bringing them back to talk with the next years and so on's, you know, selectees and kind of the lessons learned, talk about their experience, talk about maybe how this event played a role, you know, just some ideas, but yeah, you guys are getting to that point. So, and that's good to hear. That's great to hear. All right, coach. So now, you know, we're going to talk about a few Texas kids. Obviously wanted to highlight a few Texas kids that you all could expand on both, you know, both the boys and girls side. Full disclosure, I have to mention it. All right. Because two of the ones, phenomenal, you know, leaders of character, great athletes, you know, great soccer players, but just great young ladies that I've been working with based out of the greater San Antonio area, and, you know, Kalia Agel and Jordan Bushnell out of Cibolo Steel and Schertz Clements High Schools, which are, if you don't know this, they're, I think, like maybe 4 miles down the road from each other, 3 miles down the road from each other, if that. What can you kind of mention about them, the selection process with them? What has you excited about them? And then maybe just a couple of other players from the great state of Texas.
Yeah. For Jordan, I was one of the ones that got to invite her. I saw her in Kerrville, Texas. She came out to that ID camp. That was the first one we did in Texas. And I just remember how smooth she was as a player. You know, she's one of those defenders. And if you watch her highlight video, I think that's the biggest thing that stands out. She's calm. She reads the game very well, and then moving forward, so smooth on the ball, calm under pressure too when she's being pressured.
Very smart player,
able to play the long ball in and create opportunities, you know, from the back. It's pretty crazy. But I loved everything about her when we saw her play. You know, obviously when we do these ID camps, we don't get a whole lot of time to be able to talk and learn character about people. We just get to see the way they play. And so for her, I was super excited. I was like, wow, this girl can play. We're going to give her an invite. There was a couple other girls that got invited from that. Natalie Mays out of Denton Geyer, Texas, was one. Helen and Isabella Campos, too, they were invited from that showcase. So super excited to see them. And I think it's really cool when you start inviting some of these players. A lot of them are highly active on Twitter. And they'll start, you know, I keep laughing. I was like, my Twitter game is getting increased quite a bit just from being on staff with Southeast All-American, because I've got so many different coaches and kids that follow me and will send me messages. And, you know, Kalea. I don't want to say it wrong.
I've heard both Kalea and speaking with her, so I just go with Kalea and generally
Kalea,
speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, so her, yeah. Actually, I didn't get to see her play. She was one of our nominations that got, you know, from sending in highlight tapes. But something about her that stood out is even before I looked at the nomination list, I saw her on Twitter. She was highly active, and she was posting videos of her workouts and preparations to come to this. So that was a big standout to me. You don't find a lot of kids that are out there with a ball anymore and will just post, hey, this is what I did today. This was my workout.
Yeah, she's ridiculously – she's like the definition of almost – if you remember, for those of us that are a little older, right, date myself here, but Sonic the Hedgehog, she's just ridiculous, yeah. Level of energy, overly active. Just she's – you know, she's playing in a club game. She's playing in a high school game. She's playing – you know, she's playing, you know, on a basketball team. She's putting up content of individual training sessions, you know, and she's also, you know, she's, I know, part of that junior ROTC training program there at Steel High School. So just a phenomenal kid.
Then a player, the way she plays.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I mean, can strike from distance.
Yeah.
You kidding me? That foot, right foot on hers. I was like, man, we've got a couple that are coming that can really strike the ball well, especially on the girl side. I was excited just watching some of those videos. I had to watch them over again. But I love what she's been doing as far as, especially on Twitter, posting everything. Her and Caroline Moore out of Tennessee both post a lot of videos that I love to send to my boys. I'm like, are you doing this work that they're doing? This is pretty good. You should look at this video and do it. But I spoke with Kalea before we got on here. She did say she wanted to mention how excited she was about the opportunity to compete against the best in the, you know, the Southeast. And she said she's going to do her best to represent San Antonio and the quality football that she can bring to the pitch out there. I mean, it's so cool. And then her shows her character. She was like, please shout out Coach Leslie Locke and the Steel Lady Knight soccer program in Cibola, Texas, as well as Marilyn Elder from Upper Deck at Soccer Zone Live Oak and my San Antonio Slayer soccer sisters. And she said also special shout out to Coach Hector and the 50-50 podcast too. So she knows her stuff, man. She knows how to make sure she's
And little sisters like right behind her. That's very, very athletic, very soccer, definitely a soccer family, very athletic family. And I just proud of both of them, of what they've done. And yeah, you talk about how the important piece of the being open, being, I guess, I don't want to say vulnerable, right, but being transparent on social media and those timelines, they're just both very, very, very talented young ladies. And I wish them nothing but the best in this event and representing the state of Texas as well.
Right. I mean, they're phenomenal players. I'm telling you, the level of talent coming in this year, I think last year when you looked at it on paper, you were like, all right, this is going to be a pretty good game. And you can kind of tell this team's going to be a little bit stronger than the other one. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I have no idea. I know, especially on the boys' side, the East versus West game.
My boy,
unreal. Elliot. Yeah, you want to talk about Elliot first? Yeah.
I don't know much about Texas, but I know that when we had our event last year, I had this young man that come to me. Is Elliot from the Village High School. He says, Coach, I don't care where I play. I just want to play. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's what you always want to hear. But then all of a sudden when he was on the field, I was just like, okay, you can play wherever you want to play. You know, he was excited. He had a lot of energy. He played well. He would come off for a quick water break and someone needed to come off. He said, Coach, I got him. I was like, I guess that's how you do things in Texas. I was like, yeah, you need to transfer to Georgia and play for me.
You know? awesome.
Those
that's
guys, great stuff. Him and, you know, Roman, it was neat to see that for me, myself, not being from Texas, you know, heard good things. I was like, you know, Georgia soccer, you know, it's great. Texas soccer is pretty daggum good, you know. I like it. These kids want to come play, especially Raul. They got an offer to go to Point. He played keeper for me on my team last year. I was just like, wow. You know, it was just nice to coach different kids.
Yeah, I'll tell you the difference between Texas and Georgia. The top level talent, they're all good. You know, wherever they're coming from all over the U.S., when you're talking about the top level, those guys can all play with each other. Texas is so much deeper in their level of talent as far as one team goes. I remember I took my boys from Georgia one year. We went out to Frisco, and we watched Frisco Centennial practice. And we're watching a game, 11v11 playing, and they got another group that's playing on the side field that was their freshman team. And so they were like, hey, coach, so who's playing out there right now? Is that like their varsity players right there? I said, no, that's their varsity versus their JV, and they're hanging with each other. Like, yeah. That's the difference between Georgia and Texas, really Texas and a lot of other areas. You don't just have, you know, the top five players in your team are good. You've got the top 22 players in your team can all play. Right. And it makes it tough as a coach to coach out there because how do you get, you know, how do you pick a lineup when you've got that much talent? But I will tell you, Cyrus NG out of Westfield High School coming this year, I got to see him at Houston at our Houston ID camp. He's a tough player, man. He was one that he came to our Kerrville camp and he didn't get selected. And so he came to me and said, hey, coach, you know, what do I got to do to get that nomination? What do I got to do to play better? And we were honest with him. We said, look, man, you were one of our top players that we had coming out of this camp, but you took some contact and you couldn't play through it. You know, you had to come off for a little bit. So we really thought, you know, maybe he's injury prone. Maybe he can't handle the physicality of the game at all levels. And he took that feedback and he came back a lot stronger in Houston. Nice. And in a tough ID camp because it rained on us most of the time there. Mm-hmm. Those were real sloppy where we had
to play. That was back in February, right? Was that February? Yeah.
I think it was. Houston was in December. We played in December there. Yeah, because I remember I came to visit family up in Dallas and drove down to Houston for it. I mean, the field was waterlogged. It was soaked. Like, you'd kick the ball and it'd go like 2 feet and have to go hit it again. But he really showed that camp, like, nice. Hey, I can be tough. I can fight through physicality. So it was cool to see a player that came to a previous ID camp, took what we told him, gave him feedback. He came back and answered the call on it. And that's where he got his invite. Anthony Vera out of College Park High School, he got another one from Kerrville. Kendall Howard, Tyler High School, coming out in East Texas, is going to be there. Octavio Jaquez, a goalkeeper out of Pine Tree. Will Blevins, he's at a left back out of Midlothian High School. You know, we've got kids all over the place. Eastlake High School, Kevin Lambert, David Garcia. That's just on the boys' side. Those are the Texas players that we have that we're super excited about. And when it comes to girls, man, we've got some top-level talent coming. You know, you talk about the ones that we talked about already, Jordan and Natalie and, you know, Kalia. But we got Abby Major out of Reedy High School. She's already committed to Mississippi State. That girl has shut down already some of the top forwards that are, you know, on the path to being U.S. national team players. You know, she's already played them in games. Funny story about her. Her name came across in the selection process, and she got selected. And I was like, I know that name from somewhere. go to look back. Her older brother played for me at Frisco Centennial back in, like, 2008, 2009. And I remembered her when she was just a little girl. I was like, I'm getting old now because she's a senior in high school. But that girl is a stud. So to see her, she's going to get a chance to go up against Caroline Moore, who's coming out of Tennessee. Who you want to talk about a player that's getting overlooked? She's a 2022.
Hector, you got to watch this girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's that again? Moore?
Caroline Moore.
Yeah.
Out of Tennessee. She has got a left foot cannon. She played last year. I mean, you want to learn anything about her, just search up Caroline Moore on Instagram, and you'll find her Instagram. She's got, like, over 1,000 training videos of things that she does, working out at 5 a.m. in the gym when nobody else is there. She puts in the work. So to see this girl playing striker, go up against Abby Major, that's one of the highlights for me. Is I want to see who's going to win that battle.
Coach, you get tired for a practice plan, you just search her stuff. You ain't got to worry about a
practice plan. You don't have to worry about practice plans no more. She's got enough time.
And she's gonna, and she'll be on what team? What team will she be on?
So Kylie is on, let me tell you, Caroline Moore. Looking at her right here.
Give us 2 seconds and let you know.
Yeah, Caroline is going to be on Team West, and Abby Major is on Team East. So that's a battle. You've also got, I mean, I know we're getting away from talking about your Texas folk.
That's fine.
We've got a girl from California, Kiara Rodriguez.
Yes. California. Yes, definitely know her. She's
heard that name?
Part of that, the Puerto Rican national team selection. And
yes.
She
was one that got invited last year.
I forget where she's headed.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But just another great, another great young lady, another great student athlete who's just and very aware of that social activity timeline,
Yes.
What makes it special is what if she and like Caroline, they come in, they know where they're wanting to go already, but they get one or two teammates that opportunity to get a look at somewhere else.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Because a lot of those coaches that already have kids that are committed are like, all right, you're going to play in this. I want to come watch you play. And who knows who to get, picked up on the back end. But I'll tell you,
Tyler's vision all along.
Yeah. It's just super exciting seeing the level of competition that we have. There's already battles that we're already talking about. All right. This girl going against this girl. This guy going against this guy. It's so funny. I think who else we got? We got Summer coming out. Summer Lawler out of I believe she's out of the Frisco area as well. We've got a couple of girls from FC Dallas that came on kind of late with nominations and we were able to add Frisco Memorial High School, who made a deep run in the playoffs this year and lost to the case. Hey, I still keep up with my high school soccer.
There you go. We covered it in depth this year. That the state tournament, the state playoffs. It was phenomenal to watch. To cover this year. It was great. It was great for sure. So awesome, great stuff. I see there the Agel family, Kalia's family, kind of giving our shout out there, Team West.
That's
right. So as we start to transition here, coaches, we kind of start wrapping up. What has you the most, I can kind of tell, but I kind of want to still ask, what has you all collectively as a staff the most excited about this year's event? And then what can we kind of expect about the Southeast All-American Showcase and the ID Series going forward after this event is over?
For sure. I know, man, the level of competition and just to watch these players compete against each other. I'm expecting a lot of goals this year. I'll tell you that. I'm expecting some bangers to come out of this. Seeing the highlight videos, some of the goals that some of these kids scored, I just expect them to bring it. I know there are players leading up to this thing that are working their rear ends off to be prepared to come to this. Because, like we said, high school season wrapped up, late April, early May, for a lot of different places. And they haven't been on the pitch as far as the high school goes. They may have played some club. But to see, these kids preparing for it, because I always used to say, man, there's no such thing as lucky. There's no such thing as being lucky. Luck is all when your preparation meets opportunity. Because there's a lot of people who are prepared but never get the opportunity. And there's a lot of people who get the opportunity but are never prepared. So when you have that preparation and the opportunity come match up, that's the definition of lucky. And I'm excited to see what some of these kids bring to the table. I'm excited to see what some of these coaches are going to do. I will tell you, I'm going to be out there with my notepad writing down some of these practice plans and stealing a lot of stuff. I'll tell you, one of the highlights, Mike will tell you, from last year's thing was not just even the actual soccer that got played. The late night coaching session that we had with us sitting outside the hotel. This is not a joke. We sat outside the hotel
with Expo
markers, writing on the hotel window, different formations that we like to run, preseason conditioning we like to do,
practice plans,
how we fundraise. We stole so much stuff from each other last year, And to be able to have some college coaches in attendance this year to talk to them about how they set up practice plans, how they do things. I mean, you know, all we're doing is helping each other out in the long run. Not just coaches, not just players, but also coaches. So that's what I'm most excited about, being able just to see all the talent that's coming in, the competition that's going to happen, the different things that we can steal off each other, and just to make us better as coaches, which in turn makes better players. So,
right.
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm excited to see a couple of things. You know, it gives me an opportunity to kind of get away from the men's side to the women's side.
Right.
You know, as being a men's coach for the past 20 plus years, early in my career, I coached women's soccer. So I like that opportunity to see these battles, competition. But for another thing is, hopefully after this year or even maybe next year, is we drop this Southeast All-American. And it's an All-American showcase, whether it's from California to New Jersey to Florida to Canada to Mexico. We need the best players available.
And you already going international with
Canada and
Mexico. I like that thing too. I will tell you, I mean, there was something that we had in place already this year that COVID kind of shut down. We had the International Premier Cup that was going to be going on in July.
I do remember that. I do remember that.
So, yeah, COVID kind of shut that thing down for us because the amount of time that they had to stay in quarantine, just the price of it, it was going to be too much for us to try to do this year. But we're hoping in future years that thing gets to grow as well, where they bring in the top talent over from England, and they're bringing in – you know, the top talent all around the U.S. We're throwing those guys. We go, you know, we can't call it Team USA versus Team Europe, but hey, Team Stars and Stripes versus Team Blues sounds great to me. And to see some of these, you know, that level of competition. Because if we're honest, you know this, college coaches love to look international for a lot of players, and sometimes overlook the American player. So to be able to get those two to clash a little bit and see our talent here rise to the top. And, I mean, we're excited. You want to talk about U.S. national soccer, like the fact that all of our U.S. men's team primarily is coming from Europe now, and we're consistently invading the national, international game, you know, where we're kind of some of the top players out there. I think that's what we want to see. We just want to see the sport grow. Mm-hmm. And for the U.S., like Coach said, dropping that Southeast and being able to tick this thing All-American – and let this be all across the U.S. instead of just here in the Southeast. I think that's our goal for sure. So we're excited about this year. We're excited about things moving forward. Be on the lookout. We're going to drop the dates and locations of our ID Camp series that will be coming up. And, you know, we've kind of narrowed it down to a few places. We're going to get really good. When we get really good at doing these around here, we're going to move all across the nation too. So
it's just great
exciting,
stuff.
Exciting time for players, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. No, it's great stuff. And, you know, kudos to all of you, obviously, as a staff, and kudos to, you know, to Tyler and Kristen. And obviously this kind of all started with a question, right, from Kristen. And
with a question.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you all are well on your way, and we're grateful to have you guys on, obviously, here. And what's the first episode of our summer series, you know, our summer series 21, where we're doing just that. We're highlighting people that are doing special things in the game, people that are, you know, special showcases and events and ID camps that that are doing things, obviously, for, you know, it's not saying that some aren't doing it for the wrong reasons, but people or events that we feel that are pretty special, right? That are different in their own way and are bringing a different, you know, a different aspect to the game. So absolutely. So very, very happy to have you guys on. We're grateful, you know, the 50-50 podcast team is grateful to have you all on. And so before we do go, Coach, kind of highlight for us, for those that can't attend the games on Saturday, where can they go to be able to log on and watch the live stream portion?
Right. So our YouTube channel is where everything will be housed. They'll go live stream from there. We have a team that's coming in to do that. So luckily, I don't have to worry about that, getting that thing up. I know I live stream all of my high school games, and I know how much of a challenge it is to kind of get that going. So Tyler's got big task in his hand to make sure that everything goes off without a hitch. I think that's one of the things that maybe gives you the most fear about the event. It's like we're trying to live stream this for – for a lot of people, and especially for those college coaches that are attending virtually. So, yeah, you can go on our YouTube channel, Southeast All-American Sports. That's where it'll go live on Saturday. We got the schedule. If you go to seaasports.com, you can look on there to find the schedule of everything, and also has all of our information out there for the players that are attending. You get to look at, you know, their team name, you know, number that they're going to be wearing, all that. So it's an exciting time. I'm telling you, you're going to – hopefully you'll join us, right? You'll be able to watch virtually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll definitely be on. What's that, Coach?
Pick you up. What time are you flying out?
Hey, I can be there in an hour. I'll be there in an hour. Yeah. The plane doesn't even – you know, with my military background, the plane doesn't even have to land. I can parachute in.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Jessica, right.
Yes. Yeah.
And one other thing too, we got Jessica who does Atlanta United 2's live broadcast stuff. She'll be doing our information and live broadcast stuff. So it's tiling into the top. It's top notch.
That's good. That's good. Definitely quality. Definitely quality. So.
There we go. Drop it.
Just talks footy.
Just talks footy.
There you go. All right. Awesome. Well, coaches, this has been great. Definitely loved having you on. Shared a lot of great info. We'll be able to, you know, for our listeners, you know, our future student athletes that want to be able to hopefully be able to participate, be nominated, and be selected for this event. Tune in this weekend, Saturday. I think kickoff for the first game. Coaches, what time do you know? I'll put you on the spot here, but.
No, you're fine. I've got everything right here ready to go. Anyway, I think we kick off at 11, I want to say, but that's Eastern time.
I don't want to speak out of turn on that because of the time difference. I could be off.
We are in the Eastern time zone, so I can pull up. See, Tyler's got all these pop-ups on the computer coming up. But the event schedule here for Southeast All-American Games start at 12 o'clock. It will be 11 o'clock your time. I was almost right.
Gotcha. So that's 12 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, where I'm actually Mountain Time, so I'm 2 hours
behind. Oh, you're Mountain Time right there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's how big Texas is.
Oh, I know.
You get two time zones. Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, well, this has been great. Coaches, thank you. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish you all and the student athletes participating this year nothing but the absolute best. And hope you all put on a great show for these college coaches. And most importantly, just walk away from this experience appreciating it and having learned it. And also a greater appreciation of the fact that, you know, thinking back to where we were a year ago, where this country was a year ago, and where we are now. So being grateful for that as well. So thank you again, coaches. For our listeners, get out there, support them. You can go to their website again. Go to their website, go to their YouTube page. You can watch those games starting as early as noon Eastern. You're the reason why we do it as well. So thank you for your support. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.